This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is continuing coverage.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now back to the courtroom.
Y'all can have a seat. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Check and make sure we got the right notes in the right place. Those are yours. Check your pens. Make sure they still got plenty of ink. All right. Good morning, everyone. I just want to make sure that nobody began discussing the case amongst yourselves or started deliberations. Nobody discussed the case last night or this morning with anybody outside of the jury. Nobody approached you or talked with you or tried to influence you in any way, and you didn't do any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics we've heard anything about?
No, sir.
All right, everybody says no. Thank you. When we finished up yesterday, the state was still presenting its case. So, state.
State calls Alicia Byers.
Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Good morning, ma'am.
Good
morning. My name is Judge White. I'm presiding over this case. As the deputy said, just make yourself comfortable in that chair. Mm-hmm. Scoot up just a little bit. We need to get you about 12 to 15 inches from that microphone. It does adjust up, down, left, right, as you need it. If you speak in a loud, clear voice right into it, it'll pick up everything.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Please state your name.
Alicia Byers.
Can you spell your first name and last name, please?
A-L-I-C-I-A-B-Y-E-R-S.
And your relationship to Ashley Benefield?
She's my daughter.
And when did she start living with you in Florida?
I can't clearly remember.
Okay. Was there a time when Ashley moved in with you when she was pregnant?
Yes.
Okay. And she was married at the time, but it was just Ashley that moved in?
Yeah, he brought her down.
Okay.
And yes, and yeah.
And she moved in with you?
Yeah. He told me I needed to take care of her. He dropped her off.
Okay. So she stayed with you from that time on, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And does Ashley have a concealed weapons permit?
Yes.
Does she own firearms?
She doesn't now, no.
Did she own firearms then?
Yes.
Okay. How many?
Two, I think. Yeah, two.
Did she ever go to the firing range or anything? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. How frequently would she go?
Well, we did all the courses to get the concealed carry, and I don't remember.
Okay. And very shortly before the shooting, she went to the shooting range with your neighbor, correct, John Sants?
I don't think that was close to that time, no.
So it may not have been close in time, but they have gone together? Ashley and John Sands?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. And you and your daughter obviously are very close. You lived together, just the two of you, right, for a while?
Mm-hmm.
And then once the baby was born, the baby lived there with you?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. And around that time of the shooting, were you planning to move to Maryland?
Yes.
And you had a house that you inherited in Maryland?
It was the house I grew up in.
Okay. And you inherited that house?
Yes.
So your plan was to move to Maryland with Ashley and Emerson, the baby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Doug, Ashley's husband, was also moving to Maryland?
He was moving somewhere else. He was, yeah.
Okay.
He had found his dream job.
So he was moving to Maryland, but not moving into your same house?
Correct.
Okay. And he was moving, packing up to move at the same time you were?
I assume so, yeah.
But he was coming over to help
you
move?
Yes.
And on a regular basis, almost every day, he was at your house?
Maybe the last week.
Okay.
Yes.
Helping move boxes and things like that?
Yes.
And you all rented a U-Haul, right?
Somebody rented a U-Haul. I don't know who.
It was in your driveway, though, correct?
No, it was not my driveway.
The day the shooting happened, was it in your driveway? If you don't know,
that's
okay.
The U-Haul was getting there when I was leaving.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you also had a pod.
Correct.
One of those.
That was in my driveway.
In your driveway. Yes. Okay. On the date of the shooting, what time did Doug get to your house? Do you remember?
No. I mean, it was, I can guess, you know, maybe like 5 or something. I don't know.
So it was still light out?
Oh, yeah.
And maybe in the afternoon sometime?
Yeah, I don't clearly know.
Okay. So when he showed up, what did you do? Did you stay there or leave?
I was leaving when he pulled up.
And where did you go?
We went to the park.
Okay. And when you say we, who is we?
Oh, Emerson and I.
Okay.
Yes.
So just you and Emerson. And
yes.
How old was she at the time?
So I guess 2, maybe? Yeah.
Approximately.
Yeah.
And at the house, was it just Doug and Ashley then?
Yes.
When you left?
Mm-hmm.
And you've obviously been in contact with your daughter almost every day since the shooting, correct?
Leading.
No, I will roll.
You've been in contact with her basically every day, correct?
Since not initially, no.
For the last several years, you've been in contact with her every day.
Well, yeah.
Okay. And
I don't know how to, okay, yeah.
Did she ever, during any of these conversations, tell you what happened when she had to shoot Doug?
Never. Nope.
When you came back from the park, I'm assuming she was already in the squad car or she was already with law enforcement?
I had no idea where she was.
I'll sustain.
Okay. So at the time that the shooting happened, she didn't tell you what happened?
No.
Correct.
We've never talked about it.
And
no, overruled.
To this day, you've never talked about it?
No.
Thank you. No further questions.
Cross.
morning, Ms. Byers.
Morning.
Are you nervous?
Yes, very.
Scared?
Yeah.
All right. Let's try to relax.
Okay.
If my questions aren't clear, please just ask me to repeat it.
Okay. Thank you.
Was there ever a time when you and Ashley resided here in Bradenton, in the home, that Doug lived in that house?
Never.
Would it be safe to assume, and perhaps you can enlighten us a little bit, how was your relationship with your granddaughter, Emerson?
Oh, very good. Yes,
okay.
We're very close.
And would you try to spend time with her?
Yes.
Would that include you taking her somewhere on a regular type basis?
Yeah. Oh.
Would that be to the park?
Yes.
And tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Ms. Byers, how often you engaged in that practice of you and Emerson going to the park?
Usually several times a week. And we'd go after it cooled down because the park does not have very good, you know, tree coverage, so it was very hot. That was the only comfortable time to go.
So we think trying to avoid the heat or minimize it'd be later in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was brutal out there otherwise.
Yeah.
Florida, you know.
Almost as bad as it is now.
Right, exactly.
How far away was the park?
It's a short walk. I mean, we'd always walk over there, so I don't know. It'd take us maybe 5 minutes to get there.
Okay.
So.
And on this particular day, I think you told Miss O'Donnell, if I'm not mistaken, you were actually in the process of going with Emerson to the park when Doug arrived?
Yes. We were walking down the driveway and I had her in the stroller.
And on this particular occasion, there was nothing unusual about you going to the park
you did regularly. Yes.
Give me a moment, Your Honor, please.
Yes, sir. Can you redirect?
No.
Oh, hold on, ma'am. Don't get up yet. No redirect.
No.
Can this witness be released?
Yes.
Yes.
Ma'am, you were released from your subpoena. The rule of sequestration had been invoked, but you're now released from your obligations.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Judge, I apologize. In consulting with counsel, I do think I want to leave her under subpoena.
All right.
Sorry.
Ms. Byers.
So what does that mean?
I'm going to explain that.
Okay.
All right. So what that means is you remain under subpoena and subject to being recalled at the trial.
Okay.
The attorneys at the beginning of the case invoke what we call the rule of sequestration. So the instructions I'm going to give you are similar to what you've already probably been told by the attorneys. You're not to discuss your testimony here in court, the questions asked of you, with anyone else, including the attorneys. You can't talk with other witnesses about what their testimony was or the questions they were asked. And it's my understanding this may be online. You are prohibited from watching anything that's going on within these four walls, ma'am, until you're released from your subpoena or until the jury comes back and your verdict is released. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank
you're free
you.
To go for now.
Thank you.
All right, State.
State, we'll call Barbara Russell.
Oh, this way. There you go.
You saw me swear or affirm the testimony about to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So help me God, I do.
Okay.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
My name is Judge White. I'm going to be presiding over this case. As the deputy said, just make yourself comfortable in that chair. Get about to 12 to 15 inches away from the microphone. It does adjust up, down, left, right, however you need it. But if you just speak directly and allow a clear voice into the microphone, it'll pick up everything.
Thank you, sir. And please state your name.
Barbara J. Russell.
Can you spell Barbara Ann Russell?
B-A-R-B-A-R-A-R-U-S-S-E-L-L.
And what is your profession?
I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I have a doctorate in clinical psychology, and I work as a clinical and forensic mental health professional.
Okay. And how long have you known Ashley Benefield?
I've known her since April of 2020.
Okay. And when you first became involved with Ashley, it was on a professional level, correct?
Correct.
All right. And then since the time that you had that interaction, you have stayed in touch with Ashley?
Correct.
And subsequent to the shooting that happened, she actually moved into your house, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And who all lived at the house?
Myself, my husband, and my 19-year-old daughter.
All right. And approximately how long did she live at your house?
Approximately 8 months.
And you would see her on a daily basis?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Did she... When did you first see her or speak to her after the shooting?
About 1 o'clock the following morning.
Okay, so this happened in the evening time, so it would have been 1 o'clock next morning. And at that time, did she say to you, "Oh my God, he came after me, I had to shoot him"? Did she say that?
She didn't discuss what had happened at all, nor did I ask.
Okay, and to this day, are you still in contact with her?
Not that one. I'll overrule on that question.
To this day, are you still in contact with her?
Yes.
Okay. And to this day, has she ever told you what prompted her shooting, Doug Benefield?
She never gave any kind of narrative of what prompted the shooting. My understanding is that
I just want to know if she told you. I just want to know what she told you. She did not tell you anything, correct?
She never gave me any narrative about what had happened.
Thank you. No further questions.
Cross, sir.
Good morning, Dr. Russell. I have a question. From your own personal knowledge, you're aware that Ashley's lawyers instructed her not to discuss the facts, correct?
Of course, any good lawyer would do that.
Give me just a moment, Your Honor.
Of course, yes, sir.
Did there come a time, Dr. Russell, when a detective, Warren, contacted you about the case?
Yes.
Did you have discussions with Detective Warren?
I met with him once, yes, for about 90 minutes.
And in that meeting, did you relate to him that...
Objection. Hearsay.
I'm asking a question to this witness.
Well, I understand, but if it calls for hearsay, once you approach so I can hear what the... what the question is going to be.
When you spoke to Detective Warren Justin, you identified yourself?
Correct.
Okay. This was a face-to-face conversation?
Yes.
If you were to tell us today in court about the discussion you had with Detective Justin, would it be any different than what you told Detective Justin on that day?
No, of course not.
You have an opinion, do you not?
Objection.
No. Rephrase. As you sit here today, do you have a conclusion?
Objection.
Sustained.
All right. Give me a moment. Okay. Can I see the pictures that were in there yesterday? You had an opportunity that morning, from what you had to say at approximately 1 o'clock, technically the next day, to observe Miss Benefield, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to pass you a picture that's previously been marked as State's Exhibit Number 21, a picture of Ashley Benefield that was taken on the day of the incident.
Yes.
May I approach you on it?
Yes.
Does that picture reflect any swelling to Ashley Benefield?
Objection, as interpreting the picture.
Sustained.
Did Ashley Benefield look like that when you saw her prior to the day of the homicide?
Prior to the day, no.
Okay. What was different about her?
When I saw her after the incident, there was edema, sweat swelling on the side of her face.
Okay, and that did that include her right eye?
It included her left eye.
Left eye, rather?
Yes.
Okay. And when you saw her before the homicide, did she have swelling on the left side of her face, on her cheek and her eyelid?
She never had, no.
In fact, when you saw her immediately following the incident that morning at about 1 a.m., was there any indication that by Ashley that her head was hurting?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Spontaneous statement, Your Honor.
That existing mental, emotional, physical condition.
Can we approach?
Yes.
Did Ms. Benefield that morning give you any indication that she was in pain?
Yes.
And did you refer to any particular area?
Yes.
What?
Her head.
Thank you.
Redirect?
No.
Can this witness be released?
Yes. No. She is to remain under subpoena. She can be released from the stand today.
Ma'am, the rule of sequestration has been invoked by the attorneys, so that means that until you're released from your subpoena or until the jury is discharged, you're not to discuss your testimony in this case with anyone outside this courtroom, including the attorneys. You're not to talk with any other witnesses about your testimony. You're not to talk with any other witnesses about their testimony or the questions that were asked of them. And it's my understanding this may be online, so you're prohibited from watching anything that's going on within these four walls.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ma'am.
Just
leave the picture there.
I will do so. Thank you.
All right, State.
Judge, the State, you call Lieutenant Dan Dickerman. I know he was caught in the line, so I just want to make sure it's here.
We have an issue here I'd like to take up for just a moment. I don't know if you want to give me the first 5 minutes.
Hold on 1 second. I'm approaching.
So I'm going to move right hand, face the clerk, please.
So I swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
My name is Judge White. I'm presiding over the case. As the deputy said, just make yourself comfortable in that chair. Get about 12 to 15 inches from the microphone. It does adjust up, down, left, right, however you need it. Just with your loud, clear voice, you should hear everything.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your name and spell your last name.
Daniel Dickerman, D-I-C-K-E-R-M-A-N.
And where do you work?
The Manatee County Sheriff's Office.
How long have you worked there?
For almost 29 years.
What is your current position?
I'm a lieutenant in road patrol.
And what was your position back in 2020?
I was the senior homicide investigator assigned to the Manatee Homicide Investigative Unit.
Okay, so Manatee County, say that again?
Manatee Homicide Investigative Unit, M-H-I-U.
M-H-I-U, okay.
Yes.
So you were the senior investigator in that unit?
Yes.
Okay. And if you could just explain a little bit, what is that unit?
So that unit is a group of detectives formulated from all the agencies within the county, the Sheriff's Office, Bradenton Police Department, Palmetto Police Department, and all three beach agencies. We all respond out to all homicides that occur within the county, regardless of city jurisdiction, everything, so we can all work together and investigate that and determine if any criminality is a result of that homicide will need to come forward.
And just discuss a little bit how you work as a unit, and is that different than how a detective may work in a different part of the sheriff's office?
Yes. In the sheriff's office, most cases are assigned to a single detective. They go out, they do all the work, they write the report, they bring everything together in a normal, a smaller case. In these cases, we determine what we call a lead detective. That lead detective then becomes, for all intents and purposes, the supervisor of the case. He makes assignments, we go out, all the other detectives, we do our respective assignments, we report back. The lead detective becomes a basic gathering point and a keeper of all the information to make sure the flow goes smoothly to one location and we're not duplicating efforts or stepping over each other's toes, and then he makes the ultimate decision once he has all the information.
Okay. And are you, as a unit, a part of any decision-making that happens within the unit or that happens in a case?
Yeah, we have meetings on every case to discuss the comings and goings and the happenings of the different case.
And so did you work in this unit, the MHIU, at the time that the shooting occurred?
I did.
On the date of the shooting, were you notified of the shooting?
I was.
Okay. And about what time was that, approximately?
It was between 7:30 and 8 p.m.
Did you go to the scene?
I did.
And when I say the scene, where the shooting happened?
Yes, to the neighborhood of White Rock, I believe it was.
Was the defendant there?
Yes.
Where was she?
She was in the back seat of Deputy Burley's patrol vehicle.
Did you go into the house?
Not at that point. I did after the crime scene unit had already documented everything and made sure nothing would be contaminated, done their investigation inside. Then I went in briefly at the end.
Okay. And what did you see?
I saw some blood trail on the floor, a bullet strike in the wall of the bedroom from a projectile. And that's about it.
And were other members of your unit there at that scene?
Yes.
Okay. Were there other members of the unit at other scenes or other places?
Yes. Detectives were also sent to our main offices, Criminal Investigation Division, which is where our interview rooms and our offices are located.
Okay. And from the beginning of when you arrived on scene, you knew that there was a self-defense element of this crime. Did you know there was a self-defense element when you got there?
Object the leading.
I will rule on that.
Yes.
Okay. While you were at the scene, were you made aware that the defendant was going to be going to the station?
Yes.
Okay. Was the defendant's mother Alicia Byers there?
Yes.
Did you speak to her?
Yes.
And at some point, did she hand you a phone?
She did.
Okay. And did you know why she was handing you the phone?
Originally, no, but then I found out shortly after.
Who was on the phone?
A lawyer.
Okay. And did you speak to that lawyer?
Checked. Sustained.
Did you explain to Alicia Byers what was going on and where her daughter was going to go?
I did.
And ultimately, how many lawyers ended up at
relevance?
If you want to approach and explain the relevance.
At the time the defendant went to the station, was she under arrest?
No.
Was she ever arrested that night?
Jack leading.
Sustained.
When was she arrested?
Sometime in November.
Okay. And the shooting happened?
In September.
Okay. And that seems to be a month or two delay. What do you know what delayed that?
Well, for the investigation to continue into the self-defense claim.
Okay. Did you go to the neighbor's house, John Sant?
I did go there briefly, yes.
Okay. And did you have any discussions with him or anyone?
I did not, no.
Okay. Was Child Protection Services on the scene?
Yes, they were called to the scene.
And well, just briefly, what is Child Protection Services?
Objection. Relevance. Consistent with the court's prior concern, 403.
Overruled.
What is Child Protection Services?
At the time, it was a division of the Sheriff's Office entrusted with protecting the children from abuse, or make sure they're in good locations, or just make sure they're healthy.
Okay. So why do you know why they were there?
Objection.
Yeah.
Did CPS try to speak to Alicia Byers?
Yes.
Okay. Were you present?
Yes.
When Alicia Byers?
Yes. Okay.
Was Alicia Byers cooperative with them?
I wouldn't say fully cooperative. She did ultimately answer a vast majority of the questions, but not cooperative per se.
Okay. And was there anyone else present at the time when they were trying to speak to Alicia Byers?
Off and on, Barbara Russell was present.
Okay. Did you also assist in executing a search warrant?
Yes, I was on scene.
And where was that search warrant? Was that at the house?
At the house.
Okay. Did you have any assignments for gathering evidence?
Yes.
And what evidence was that?
To originally look for video in the area of the park of the neighborhood.
And did you do that?
I did.
Were you able to obtain video?
I was.
And on that video, did you see what we believe to be Alicia Byers and the child at the park?
Yes, they were at the park.
Okay. Did you also obtain other types of videos?
Yeah, I also viewed ring video from the scene itself.
Objection, relevance.
What video?
Ring from the scene.
But overruled, I mean, you could say he viewed it.
And in viewing that, did you see any part of the incident that we're here about? Was it captured on the ring camera?
The shooting, no. The arrival of the U-Haul and the arrival of the deputies were on there.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Of course.
Good morning, Lieutenant.
Good morning.
So through your testimony, among other things, the state proved this morning that there was a U-Haul truck there.
Yes.
And that the deputies arrived.
Yes.
And that there was a homicide.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that often the practice is when you respond to a homicide, it takes some time to conduct an investigation to determine if there's criminality.
Absolutely.
Okay, so in other words, you don't come upon a homicide and determine as soon as you see a dead body it's murder.
Correct.
Okay. If I wanted a job in your unit that you supervise and I felt all homicides are murders.
Objection.
Fair question, Your Honor.
Objection. Pretrial ruling.
Sustained.
You mentioned that the arrest of Ms. Benefield, well, let me start from, I think you told us she was in the back of the squad car.
Yes, sir.
She was in handcuffs.
Yes.
And this is a squad car with the doors that you can't open from the inside in the back, correct?
That's correct.
With a cage?
Yes.
So she's in the back of the squad car, in handcuffs, behind her back?
Yes.
In a car with a cage, and you can't open the doors, but she wasn't under arrest?
No, she wasn't charged with anything.
Okay. So, I think you told us that the reason for her being arrested approximately 6 weeks later, I think, was so that the investigation could be conducted.
Correct.
Because you had to determine if there was criminality.
Correct.
Okay. Could have been a homicide that was self-defense.
Could have been. That was the claim.
That's the whole point of the investigation.
Absolutely.
And that kind of an investigation, understandably, takes time.
It does.
And patience.
Yes.
And professionalism.
Yes.
And knowledge and experience.
Yes.
Do you know how old Lieutenant Alicia Byers is?
I don't.
You recall meeting her?
I do.
Approximately, give us your best shot.
I mean, I would guess in her 40s to 50s.
All right. Was she a young woman?
No.
She was pretty exhausted that day, wasn't she?
She appeared to be. There was a lot going on. Yeah.
Would it be a fair statement, Lieutenant? You seem like a pretty straight guy. Was she emotionally distraught?
Yes, there's a lot of emotions going on there, yes. Yeah.
In fact, her first thought upon coming back from the park with the daughter and
Objection.
Seeing the cars was
You're
that
saying,
her daughter
please
was dead.
Stop talking.
Unless you'd like to make an argument for an exception, then you can approach. Okay.
Rest just I?
Well, if you'd like to approach.
It's all right, Your Honor. I think, Lieutenant, excuse me, you told us that you went into the residence after crime scene had completed their portion of the investigation.
Yes, sir.
And do you recall crime scene was there before or after EMS?
A crime scene comes after EMS. The sanctity of life always comes first.
All right. So EMS was there first, and you were there, so you know they dragged Mr. Benefield out of the home from
Yes.
the bedroom.
Yes.
So when you told us that crime scene was there to preserve the scene, can we agree, Lieutenant, that what crime scene preserved was the scene following the EMS people not only working on him in that bedroom, but moving?
Yes, as always, that we preserve the scene after we attempt to save the life.
Okay. And so those crime scene photos show us, for example, what that scene looked like when crime scene took the photograph.
That is correct.
It doesn't show us what the scene looked like when EMS was running around doing what they do.
That's not possible. No, that's correct.
Okay. And that would have included the initial deputies on the scene as well.
That's correct.
Give me just a moment, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Appreciate your candor.
Thank you, sir.
Redirect?
Yeah, thank you.
Can this witness be released?
Yes.
Mr. Taylor, can this witness be released from your subpoena?
Sir, you were released from your subpoena. You're free to go.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, stay.
Can we approach?
The jury, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-morning break right now, so you can step back into the jury room. Please close your notes, leave them right where they are. It should be 10 or 15 minutes. Stretch your legs, get something to drink back there, use the facilities. Please don't begin discussions amongst yourselves. You are free to still use your cell phones to send, receive text messages, calls, anything like that, but please don't discuss the case outside of this group, and don't do any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics we've heard anything about. Thank you. All right, y'all can have a seat. We'll be on recess. Bless you. 10 minutes. Folks, I need the audience to sit down and take your seats, please. We need to get started. I'm going to go ahead and bring that.
The line up now.
No one started deliberations amongst yourselves, talked with anybody outside the jury about the case, or did any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics we've heard anything about?
No, sir.
No? All right. State, call your next witness.
State, call Stephanie Murphy.
Your Honor, can we approach the room?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello, ma'am.
Good morning, Judge.
My name is Judge White. I'm going to be presiding over the case. Get yourself about 12 to 15 inches from the microphone. It does adjust up, down, left, right. Just make yourself comfortable. If you speak directly into the microphone with a loud, clear voice, we'll hear everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your name.
Stephanie Murphy.
How do you spell first and last name?
Stephanie is S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E. Murphy is M-U-R-P-H-Y.
And what is your profession?
I'm an attorney.
How long have you been an attorney?
This is my 23rd year as an attorney, and actually in the Sarasota-Bradenton area.
And are you with a firm, sole practitioner? What do you do?
My husband and I have our own firm, and I've had that firm for 16 and a half, 17 years. Before that, I was at a larger firm in Sarasota.
And what is your topic of law that you practice?
I practice family law, which is generally comprised of divorce, custody cases, or what used to be called custody cases, and adoption cases.
Okay. I want to ask you about Doug Benefield. Did he hire you?
He did.
And approximately when did he hire you?
He hired me in March 2018. He came for a first consultation on the 13th. He hired me on the 14th of March, 2018.
And what was the purpose of your duties to begin with?
Initially, the purpose of hiring me was to draft a letter to Ashley Benefield, who was pregnant with their child at the time, which I did. I drafted a letter and sent it the day after I was retained. But the purpose of that letter was actually just to initiate...
More continuing coverage is on the way.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Press subscribe now.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.